Let's go to Matthew. No, Mark. Excuse me. Mark chapter 7. We're still talking about the kol nidre, the getting rid of all of your vows. It may not connect right away what this is related, but trust me, okay? Never say trust me to anybody. That's just stupid. Forgive me for saying trust me. Don't trust a damn thing. Remain skeptical throughout. Just be a Harry. Harry's still checking every word I say or teach. If he finds an inconsistency, he's going to throw the whole damn thing out. So will I. Verse 14. And when he called all the people unto him, he said unto them, Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, if we just understood that little simple statement, you would be disarmed. Your vow producer would be disarmed. And we'll see that the true, in order for it to come out of you, it had to have originated within you. And that which originated within you was the curse. The eternal separation from God. Caused not by your mother and father having sex, but which I heard.
What?
I heard the original sin was sex. And the guy said it on that Joni and Marcus telephone.
My mother wouldn't do that.
People have known that for a long time.
Well, there's a bunch of people here that are supremely and ultimately and totally without hope then.
That's only a sin if it's done right.
Because most of us were produced by sex.
Not all of us.
Most of us.
Good number.
Some of us came from another location. Bloom still says I come from blooded tube sock. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples said, asked him concerning this parable. He said, what the hell are you talking about? We've been taught all of the law, that all of these things. These are all of the things that defile. You can't get near a leper. You can't do this. You can't do that. You can't touch a Gentile. You can't go near a Samaritan. Can't walk anywhere near a grave. Because he might be over the top of the bones. And again, defile here you don't have the luxury of putting your own definition of what defile means. It means to spiritually defile. It has a technical term. It means to make you unclean. Now, you have to remember that even Jesus was unclean when he was in the same room with a dead body. Or when he was raised from the dead, he was Levitically unclean. That's why the disciples had to be in Jerusalem 10 days before Pentecost so they could go through the purification ceremony. Because they had touched the unclean thing. Jesus.
When he was born?
What?
When he was born.
Of course he was unclean when he was born. Now listen. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entering into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out in the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. Now it says clearly that you, every single idle thought will be judged, whether or not you performed it or not. Jesus then further said, if you've thought about it, you've done it. Does that make any, it should make some of you extremely nervous.
No amount of religion is going to cure any one of these.
Well, that's why this isn't studied in religion. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy. Where? I want to go to. Where do we want to go to? I've got it written down. 23.
What chapter?
Deuteronomy 23. Let's go in verse 21. When thou shalt vow a vow unto the Lord thy God, thou shalt not slack to pay it. For the Lord thy God will surely require it of thee, and it would be sin in thee. But if thou shalt forbear to vow, it shall be no sin. That which is gone out of thy lips thou shalt keep and perform, even a freewill offering, according as thou hast vowed unto the Lord thy God, which thou hast promised with thy mouth. Now, that which has gone forth from thy lips, and it's not just talking about these lips, it's talking about the lips of all the voices up here. Anything that you that has gone forth from your lips, it has to be performed. If it isn't, then you're in duck soup. You're judged by every idle thought.
In other words, that's what Jesus was talking about when he says you're judged by every idle thought.
Right.
Referring to all these Old Testament kind of things.
Right.
But seeing it deeply like you from within.
But what people do then is they try to put a muzzle on their lips or their tongue so that they don't act like they're doing it. So they're not acting like they made a vow. I promise you, even after yesterday, every one of you made an innumerable number of vows or seated. What's the word I'm on the track? A seated? No, you agreed. You tried to do vows that were already there. Innumerable number of times during the day. You believe me?
Sure.
And you do it with impunity.
How you work.
Huh?
How you work.
But so then therefore it's okay.
It's inescapable.
So what's the response to that then?
Give up.
One response is, well, since I do it all the time, I can't help it, And so I'll just continue. Right?
I'm having to sit right to that.
Or, since I've thought about it, now I'm going to continue to do it, but it's not my business, now it's God's business. I've done my part. I've acknowledged that it exists.
All that I can take any comfort in is what we said at the end of the cold meeting ring, which is all vows, whether we said them or didn't say them, whether we know them or don't know them.
Okay, look. Again, this is your birth. It doesn't have a crook on it. This is your death. Every human being has to be judged by every idle thought, every act, everything they ever did. You can't say, well, over here I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. Now none of those don't count because the blood of Christ has saved me from them. He's forgiven me. That's true, but it's He's forgiven you because the life is in the blood, and now your life is Christ. So God looks at you or on the judgment seat, and He sees only Christ. But you, the moment you give breath to one of these things and don't abandon yourself, then you come back into focus. And you again then are judged by every possible situation and every vow that you didn't perform. Let's just take that one a minute. Let's just take all of the things that you said in your mind that you didn't do. That would be enough to fill hell. Now, can maybe this cause you to understand what it means to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ? That you don't sit around and nurse your thoughts? Because if you're here, if you've come to repentance and abandoned yourself, then you're here. And I'm purposely pointing it at Gary. That's where he wants to be. Only here. But if I even bring this thing into focus, to understand God, then I'm back here and I'm subject to the judgment seat. And I'm subject to all of the millions of vows and thoughts and idle, you know, every lustful thought, no matter whether. And I'm not just talking about sex here. Thou shalt not covet means if every single time you've wanted something to be different, you're all is here.
What gets me is, you're taking just one little piece and one little part of the law.
Yeah.
Reading there, pulling it out, and it overwhelms us because it's just one little thing. You know, it's just one aspect of one. Half of a thing is enough.
The question then is, how can I conduct my life?
One life.
It's by faith, which worketh by love. And so, the only thing that happens in that arena is abandonment of self. Because if you know that even your thoughts, I'm trying to get this right, and I'm trying to understand, and I'm trying to be a truth seeker, and I'm trying to be a good man, and you brought all of this back into play. The classic one that was used at the time, because this was so common, and still is, it's as common as dirt, is being a respecter of persons. Now, James and others, it's clear. It says if you are a respecter of persons, you are subject to the entire law because you've gone from this to this. Now, what does it mean to be a respecter of persons? It literally, it means to treat someone one person differently than another. Even your mother. Because what you've done then, as a respecter of persons, you've gone from the life of Christ in you, the hope of glory, back to you. And essentially, it is then every one of those uncompleted promises and vows you've made to yourself, every idle thought about lusting after something you don't have, or sexual, or whatever it is, all of it comes back into play. Even your thoughts, that's the thing that Jesus just extended the law a million miles. Now, all of these little promises and ways of behavior and all those things are what the kol nidre covers. Now, it's fine. Okay, I can just say, we did that little declaration at the end, and we have said, whether I know them or not know them, or do them or don't do them, or whatever, they're declared null and void as the dust of the earth. Okay, at that instant, you are here. And again, if it's Gary. But then the next instant that you give breath to self, you're back to here. That you give breath to agenda, that you do anything except love. Anytime you're angry, it goes back to here. And you normally, the only reason anybody ever gets angry, it's frustrated greed. That's the only thing that can make you angry. Now, this seems to be impossible then. How can this possibly be? What we've done, in it's been done even in the translations, the very first thing that Christ said to you, or said to his disciples, is deny yourself, pick up your cross. Those are the summary commands. And deny is, as you well know, apodiomai, means abandon. Take absolutely no thought of or for or about you or yours. Pick up your cross, you've accepted your death. And those are the two summary commands. And the follow me is in the aortis. I mean, it's the fruit of those two commands. But the minute you try to learn something, then you've gone from this to this. The minute you try to become something, you've gone from this to this. You've gone from his life to your life. That's why Paul said, whatsoever is a gain to me is a loss to Christ. Now, the reason we're doing this today is because I want you to understand the fierceness of the warfare that you are in. And I want you to understand, remember the role of the Tzaddik in ancient times was to show you the incredible danger that you're in and then show you the instant release from it. Now let's go to this chapter where you can probably quote, but I can quote it by heart, and I hope you can, but let's go to 2 Corinthians 11. Or 10, I'm sorry.
You know, this is the deal where people say, you know, if I lived like this, I would just sit in
a corner. I'd go sit in a corner.
What happens is, if you wait long enough in that corner,
God will reveal himself.
Love is what happens. And then all kinds of things happen, but it's not you.
Verse 3, chapter 10. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now, as we've said a million times in the last 30 years, there is no thought that can stand against "it is finished." There is no thought that can stand against "it is perfect." And seen correctly, there is no thought that can stand against "Jesus is Lord." There is no thought that can stand against "by one offering you've been perfected forever." And so the kol nidre is not a light thing. The kol nidre touches the core of your being, because this beast that has been masquerading as you for all these years is hardwired to make oaths and promises. It has to. That's the only way it can survive. And it will even try to learn about God. Always try to do the best they can, or it can. But at this time, when we are getting ready for the marriage supper of the Lamb, the governor of the feast is going to stand at the door. Remember, the whole process of these 10 days, it's passing under the rod. We'll go through that later. But the real rod isn't about what you look like or what. The passing under the rod is this thing. Are you giving it any importance whatsoever? Are you giving your emotions or your thoughts? Do you owe it anything? You know, I pick on Harry about this because he does it so obviously, but everybody else does it. Either I invent a schedule, which makes it worse, but or Harry invents a schedule, and then everything has to stop in order to meet that schedule.
No, then you call him.
Yeah, then I interrupt him. That son of a bitch.
Right way
or wrong? No, there isn't. There's only his way. There's about to be a broken telephone.
There's only Yahweh.
Now, it doesn't matter what it's about. It doesn't matter how important it looks. And the examples in the scripture and the examples in Fox's Book of Martyrs and everything else is so pristine. And then when God is faithful in that pristine test, then you never again will have a doubt. But he's not faithful to what you think. He's faithful to Him. He's not faithful to some invented schedule or course of action according to man. He's faithful that you would be included in His mystery. It has nothing to do with family values or nice kids or some political action or whether or not you go bankrupt or not or whether or not The Dorm Magazine succeeds or whether or not Trinity Foundation succeeds or anything else. Whether or not Ollie's gonna yell at me. has to do, really, at the bottom line, it has to do with your conscience being emptied from dead works, so that you don't continue on this asinine course of action. Spotting the garment by your flesh. It's Jesus Christ in you, the only hope of glory, the only life, the only purpose, the only will of God. And this extends even to include the very essence of life that you believe. It's still Him only. And as long as you continue to give breath to your thoughts and your emotions and refuse the joy that is set before you, I don't know how you can continue.
Like I just saw the conscience is the medium that you work with and get into agreement with. It's the one that convinces you need a vow, and you agree because your conscience is right. It's your good guy. And so you make a vow to do this, a vow to do that, but it's all on that level. When you talk about purging your conscience,
let's go to Hebrews 9. You have to understand the conscience is the evidence of the fall because it's the means of self-awareness. Hasn't that struck you yet? So therefore it is the essence of evil.
But it's totally portrayed as what's good.
I don't care.
I know, but you don't see that.
So before the fall, there wasn't mind talk?
No, there wasn't two minds. So who did they talk? There was only awareness of God and there was no self-awareness. The fall caused the self-awareness. The naming caused the potential for self-awareness. And then the soon, and all that was too. It had to be that way. Because remember, the only thing that can make unleavened bread is the thing, or the seeds that are capable of being leavened. God didn't want any angels. He wants people to have gone through the whole gamut and come to the end of every possible endeavor and plan and idea and say, there's no there. It's a bunch of crap. But some of you are still trying to get it right, trying to do the right thing. Trying to be a good person. You see what it's gotten you, don't you? I mean, you don't have to. What are you turning around? Oh.
He's still there.
Hebrews. I said Hebrews, didn't I? I got to go there. You said a bad word in the microphone.
Yeah, things you say under your breath or shouted from the house.
That was just shocking.
Verse 11, chapter 9. But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and of the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works in order to serve the living God? You cannot serve the living God as long as your conscience is active, because you will serve the God of this world if your conscience is active. You have to take the risk of totally going without knowing, having totally lost the capacity to think that the moment you're in should be different than it is. That's what it means to empty your conscience, purge it by the blood of Christ. To walk in 100% dependence. Now that's why I've said, I think I told you, one of the first things I wrote after this experience in 1972, when God revealed His Son in me, I knew it, that one single person, totally emptied, was the most powerful force in the universe. It makes, but then I thought that was pretty neat. And then I found out it's not with one He's interested in, it's with 10. Now, what do you learn from Rita and Katrina? Well, hopefully you learn compassion, you pour out your life for the people in need, and then continue it, as John wrote, as a lifestyle as opposed to an act. But mainly what you learn is what happens when you empty, because that's what a low pressure zone is the emptying. There's no telling what would happen if just the people in this room emptied themselves and made themselves of no reputation. And go to verse 10. You ought to read all of Hebrews.
There's something here that struck me that, you know, when Jesus said deny yourself, that's a broad spectrum of things.
It's everything.
But I was thinking, if deny your conscience, it gets real personal. you can't water it down with all the little of this and a little of that.
Well, how can you possibly water down, abandon yourself, take no thought of or about or for yourself?
I can do it.
Must be a California thing. For the law, having a shadow of good things to come and not the very image of the thing, can never, with those sacrifices which they offered year by year continually, make the comers thereunto perfect. For then would they not have ceased to be offered, because the worshippers once purged should have had no more consciousness of sins. It's the conscience which gives you consciousness. You got it? So the thing, the conscience, is the source of all evil within you. Nothing entering into you can defile you, because your conscience has already totally defiled you. Because it is Jazaniah. It is whatever else you want to call them. But the problem is you still are acting like 2-year-olds. Spiritually. Because you're still giving breath to the, instead of living in dependence. And for you, God has to be all and in all. Not, well, He's going to help me do this, and then He's going to be mad at me if I do that. And well, that's just so asinine. It's that died at the cross.
That's really putting the branch to the nose. That's measuring God by me.
Oh. That's putting God to the test for the purposes of approving Him. Putting the branch to the nose. It's defiling. I mean, the scriptures are clear. Every thought and every deed that you've ever done are judged. You don't escape judgment because all of a sudden you've put magic Jesus around your neck. You understand that all men died on the cross. and you mortify the flesh. Mortify just means you give it, you reckon it dead. And how can you possibly give breath to anything except Him? Your breath means to love. That's what the verb love is, remember? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And your neighbor as yourself, which you will do if you do that. That's an all the law and all the prophets hang on that. Why do you think He said that? What an incredible statement. All the law and all the prophets hang on you giving breath only to God.
Illustrations for the loser, these etchings from the 1600s or something of people as persecutions, you know?
I saw that.
One of those is, I wrote this on the deal for Harry just to know, because one of them is a guy, you know, is in the ice cold water, and another guy is like doing this, and it looks like maybe they've thrown this guy in the water, but what's really happening is this guy was escaping from his persecutors. And one of the persecutors fell into the river, and he turned back and pulled him out of the river and thus got caught and was taken back. But I was thinking about, you know, it's like you don't have an agenda. This is really, my agenda is like to get away from these guys. You know, I don't really much have to think about it. But, you know, at some point,
to save your persecutor,
he didn't have an agenda because love was there. And it was just, it's just totally against everything.
That's great.
You know, and that's like the demarcation line of what's practical. You know, it's like practicality doesn't enter in even when your own life is on the line.
It is so simple. It is the simplest thing in the universe. And you've heard me say this thing over and over and over for 30 years, some of you. I haven't said anything new. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no new revelation. There's no new move of God. And you are the only enemy of God. That's what you have to see. I knew I was God's enemy. I mean, I didn't sleep again last night. So I'm pretty pissed off at Him. It's going to do me a lot of good, but...
Yeah, he's going right now.
Command you hurricane to turn.
Please, 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 if you don't understand this, talk to me. If you do understand it, abandon yourself. Let Him live. Stop keeping Him in the dungeon in your temple.
This thing about conscience is interesting because not only most churches, religions teach, you know, listen to your conscience, you know right from wrong, listen to your conscience. Even in children's literature, Pinocchio, and always let your conscience be.
Oh, I know. That's why
I say
here that most people get their theology from fairy tales and bad
Jiminy Cricket,
bad popular music.
Me, I'm your conscience.
Oh, I know. And it's just pure stupidity. Anyone else have a response or expansion on the tale?
Well, my takeaway is something you didn't exactly say, so I better say it to be sure it stands. When you held up that cane and talked about judgment, that's a very ugly picture. And it made me think that, it made me understand the search for beauty. and aesthetics and art and all that. And then I realized that beauty is not one of the fruits of the Spirit. It's like other things are more important than beauty. So that's my take on it.
No, I mean, the search for beauty in artistes is the same as the search for truth in philosophers. It's just the evil one trying to be what he isn't. He can never achieve. He lost it all because of the five I ams, or I wills, Isaiah 14. And just the same as that's repeated in you 25,000 times a day.
And it says someplace Satan was the most beautiful.
That's right.
That's the definition of beauty, is Satan.
But I mean, again, what we see, you got to hear this real quickly, though. I mean, God looked at his creation and he said, it is good. All is good because he saw the end. And so when we look at it from God's standpoint, we only see, we see beauty and truth everywhere. There's no differentiation. There's no comparing. Because we see the same one story every place we look. Doesn't mean you don't like, I mean, I certainly like.
It's easier to look at some people than others.
Yeah, I mean, I was just about to say that defined my life. I only hung around with beautiful people, and even though I wasn't one of them, but beautiful things, and I lived in a high rise, so I could look down, and everything looked beautiful from afar. But now the difference is now I can look wherever I look if I don't pay attention to this idiot mind and see the same beauty everywhere, even in that which I by my senses think is horrible. All righty, take a big guy. We will continue more on Kol Nidrei tomorrow.